allowed yourself to be broken, to take on our human form, be nailed to a cross, die, that in the midst of our brokenness, our sin, our deep need, we could be made complete again. God, all we could bring you was nothing. Less than nothing because of our rebellion. Nothing we could bring. And you brought everything. Today, as we have reflected on that and will continue to, lead us to Calvary. Lead us to the cross. Lead us to the healing and the restoration and the life and the forgiveness that is there, we pray. Through Jesus, amen. Is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to come untrue? If you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, you know where that comes from. Those were the words of Samwise Gamgee at one of the most unbelievable moments he had ever experienced, one he never thought he would have. It wasn't too long before he thought his life was over. If you know the story, he and Frodo had made this arduous, incredibly difficult trek into the very heart of evil, of Mordor, to destroy a ring of power. After intense struggle, that had happened. But as in Mount Doom, that ring dissolved, it's like chaos broke loose, eruption, lava flowing. Frodo and Sam are barely able to escape the lava down the top of a hill, physically exhausted, emotionally spent, in and out of consciousness. They thought the end would come. And in came the eagles and lifted them to a place of rest, a place of healing. And Samwise opened his eyes. And he said, is everything sad going to come untrue? Can everything sad really come untrue? Today, in these events, we find an answer. Because we ask the same question. Can the sadness of sickness, loss, injury, can it come untrue? Can the sadness of my exhaustion, my restlessness, my deep need, can it come untrue? Can the sadness of my fear and my anxiety and my guilt and my shame and my loneliness, can it come untrue? Can there be restoration? Can there be a place of healing? Can a different kind of truth have the last word? And from the cross, we hear that shout, yes. Restoration has the last word. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, puts it this way. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. By his wounds, when he died, he made healing available. That word healing is an interesting word. Those who study these things give this fascinating definition. Healing here is to cause something to change to an earlier or a correct state. By his wounds, we can be caused to change to an earlier, correct, intended state of the way things were supposed to be. Everything messed up by sin in the world is going to come untrue because of the cross. That's what Jesus offers. That's what he came to do. It's what he said before he died in so many ways, but one of them is in a way that we have focused on these last weeks here at McKernan. Some of you might be visiting today, but if you've been here, you know we focused on one of Jesus' statements where he said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And we've been asking the question, what does it mean? How do we get some handles on Jesus as the bread of life? And through the weeks, and I'm not going to take time this morning on Easter Sunday, we'll go over these. This bread contains oil of provision, the Spirit. It contains a honey, a joy, a sweetness. It contains yeast, transformation. It contains salt, this distinct, good flavor. But today, very often in that day, on special days, they would put herbs in their bread. What in the scriptures do these herbs, what do they symbolize? Well, yeah, they were for flavor, but so much more. They didn't have the pharmacies that we have. They didn't have the medications that we have. So a lot of their medication was from plants. Herbs like this, leaves of a tree. They found the healing property. And so often in the scripture, when you read of herbs, they're part of healing. Fascinating verse, the last chapter of the Bible, anticipating the end game, what Jesus has come to do. Revelation 22, verse 2, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree, the plant, the herb, are for the healing of the nation. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, this ingredient of herbs. I'm here to heal. I'm here to restore. And then the very next line after the healing of the nations, no longer will there be any curse. So you've got the tree, the leaves of healing, reminding us of another tree that brought curse. And that takes us from the first chapter of the Bible to the third. Or the last chapter to the third chapter. And in Genesis 3, we find humanity and a tree. God said, you can eat of every tree, but I've designed you not to eat of what this tree is and all it represents. And we as humanity said, God, we know better than you. And we went outside God's boundaries, Adam and Eve, our first parents, and we have all followed. And we said, God, I know better. And we ate from the tree of the curse. Revelation 22, the tree of healing. Genesis 3, that tree of sin, of us turning from God. Today we celebrate a third tree. 1 Peter 2:24, we've read it already. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It says cross in this version, but really the word is most often used to talk about plain wood or a tree. The way from the tree of sin and curse to the tree of eternal restoration is the tree of Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. These herbs will only produce their healing when they are broken. How did Jesus bring us restoration? How does he offer that today? I want to just simply talk about two ways. First of all, the healing comes to us because he has dealt with the root of the issue that needs to be healed. He's made forgiveness of sin possible. There's different kinds of medication. Some are just to mask the pain. We take the Tylenol, we take the ibuprofen, but some medications deal with the infection, right? They get to the source of what the problem is, and that's where they deal with it. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," the herbs he came with are not to mask the pain, but to deal with the infection. And what's the infection? 1 Peter 2:24, "He bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." The restoration that we need is not to have a few things fixed on the outside. The record of the Bible is when Adam and Eve sinned, what entered into all of humanity, and we are complicit in this. We all have this bent to say, "God, I want to be on the throne and not you." And the mess we're in, the chaos of the world, the lava around Mount Doom, in our lives and our world, is God just saying, "Okay, here's the consequences of you walking out your design. You want to take control of your life? Okay." And we've messed it up. We see it in the news every day. We feel it in our own lives. The only way for that to be dealt with is for that disobedience, that rebellion to be dealt with. The price to pay, according to the Bible, is a life has to be given. One that comes to take on himself that sin. Jesus did that. God stepping out of heaven, a triune God saying, "We love the world so much, how will we reach down?" And Jesus said, "I'll go. Not a victim, but willingly." There's a story, a powerful little story I read that goes back to Somalia. Terrible time of famine. A reporter went into Mogadishu, and in the surrounding villages, there was one, the famine was so severe, there was just death everywhere. As they were there, a young boy, probably older than he looked, he had the hair that was rust instead of dark, the extended belly, everything showing malnutrition, wrinkled skin, so weak. He came and with those eyes just looked for anything. And that reporter, his cameraman, they had very little. They had a piece of fruit with them at the time, and they gave it. It was almost too heavy. They cut it in half, and this young boy, rather than eating it right away, slowly walked back to his village, and they stayed at a distance and noticed that when he got there, he went beside another little boy who they found out later was his brother. The brother looked dead. But the older brother took a piece of fruit in his mouth, chewed it a bit, took it out, opened his brother's mouth, put it in, helped him chew and swallow until that whole piece of fruit was gone. That reporter asked around and found out that this older brother had been doing that for weeks. And as they remained in the area, discovered not long after, the older brother died, but the younger brother lived. An older brother who allowed the sickness that he could have escaped from. He took on the full impact of that sickness by giving all he had to his younger brother who had no hope apart from that. Jesus himself bore our sins. In his body on the tree, he took the sickness of our sin on himself so that he could then extend the health of his life to us. And we could be forgiven. All restoration and all healing flows from that. And there's coming a day that we read of in Revelation 22 where that healing will be made complete. And everything sad will come untrue to those who simply say, God, the root of my whole sickness inside is sin. I believe your son died on the cross. I receive it. I need it. Thank you. Forgive me. But then lead my life. Because Jesus didn't die just so that we would know healing in heaven. He died so that now we begin to see the restoration. And that's the second aspect of healing I want to talk about. The first, Jesus died to heal at the very root, the infection of sin. But second, he has now also died that we might be on a journey of increasing restoration. And that this health, these herbs of his life, start to change us at any number of levels. Here's a few. One is at our inner, our emotional well-being, that level. God doesn't want us living in fear, anxiety, guilt, shame. I find it fascinating. When Paul prayed for the church, if we go through his letters, he isn't praying, God, make their circumstances better and help them feel better. He isn't praying, God, mask what's going on inside. What he's praying is, God, restore them to the way they're intended to be. Hear this in Ephesians 3. The prayer is that he would strengthen them in their inner man, their inner person. Verse 17, I pray that you who have received the forgiveness of God and know his healing in eternity, but you right now being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, what Paul is praying is that the truth that's been revealed, that God loves us so much, he died on a cross, would so lay hold of these people who knew they were forgiven that it starts to change them from the inside out. Strengthen them. Give them health. Start to, in a practical way, make what is sad untrue. Because the truth of the love of God is taking over. Even the language he uses. You've been rooted and established. Verse 17. We don't see this in the English, but in the grammar, the form that's used there, it means something happened that you now work out the implications of. It's called a perfect tense. Jesus rooted you in love and established you in love, and now I'm praying that what is true would take over your life so that you know you are loved, and it chases away the fear and the guilt and the shame over time. I remember, it's hard to believe, it's back almost 16 years now, when our oldest son fell off a cliff. And that first night at Calgary Children's Hospital, they went through the litany of Donovan's injuries, they took him into surgery, and I was swimming inside. What was sad was not untrue. It was very real. Fear, wondering. I got outside alone, and God blessed us that night with a starry night. And I looked up, and it's like what I knew was true here, that God is big and good and love in the power of this vast universe. Paul's prayer suddenly took root in my life. And there was this sense of being established and rooted in God's love. And it wasn't that Donovan's going to be okay, but that whatever happens, it's going to be okay. Because Lyle, I love him. And I love you. And I've got this. And healing and restoration came in here when I had to surrender it all to him. Maybe today there's something inside where you need the love of God to go a little bit deeper and get more real, and you need to let go and say, God, root and establish me in love. May I know at a deeper level the truth that I'm loved. At a personal level, God wants to do that. At a relational level, he wants to heal. Again, when we know we're loved, we don't have to win. We don't have to hold grudges. We can forgive. And maybe today, God is saying, I want to bring healing to relationships, but it's not going to be by masking the issue. It's going to be by changing you so that you don't hold on and you're able to listen and you're able to let go. Who do you need to let go of before God and forgive and ask God to bring restoration to that relationship? But a whole nother level of healing is in the external. Our health, our world. And again, only in heaven is it going to be total and complete. But until then, we go back to Ephesians 3. Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. There's coming a day when we will see the totality and the finality of by his wounds we are healed. Everything will be back to the way it was intended to be. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be no more pain. There will be no more guilt and shame in that eternal presence with him. But God is saying, in between, be instruments of that healing. Ask for that healing. Is there mystery in this? There is. I think of Donovan's fall and how again and again it just seemed the medical community was so surprised by how quickly healing came. We can attribute it to none other than God. An answered prayer. And yet other times God's people pray and the healing is more eternal on the other side. But let us not stop asking. And let us not stop leaning in to what God wants to do. And as we look at our world and its mess, again, it's easy to say, well, let's just forget it and wait till heaven, when God says, be my agent of healing. Pray for your communities. Pray for the needs. Ask God to bring healing to your world. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Part of that, what he meant, is I am healing. Your greatest need of healing is right at the roots. And I took your sickness and the death that it brings so that you could have my health and my life. That health is going to be fully realized in heaven, but until then, pray for deeper understanding of my love, that you just release the control, the fear, the anxiety, the issues. Pray my love will overcome relationships and you live forgiving instead of bitter, listening and surrendered instead of having to be right. And pray my healing into the circumstances, into the mystery of my sovereignty, trusting me to work out my purposes because it is all to his glory, not our comfort. Is everything sad going to come untrue. And a voice from the cross says, it is finished. Restoration is available. Let's pray. God, I don't know in this room where the needs are today, but I know there isn't a person here who does not at some level need to know your restoration. God, I pray with Paul a fuller understanding revealed by your Spirit into our hearts of what you've revealed in your word, and that is that we are deeply, deeply loved. God, what do we need to surrender today? I pray that you will enable us today to see the love of the cross and give to you what we're afraid of, what we're anxious about, what we still walk in guilt about when you've already forgiven us. To surrender to you relationships where we're still holding on to the past. To give to you, God, those illnesses and injuries. Trusting your sovereignty and your wisdom and your ultimate glory. Giving to you the needs in our communities, in our city, in our nation, in our world that seems so broken. And we say, God, bring healing. What do we need to bring to the cross today? To the river of grace, to the river of wholeness, to the river of healing. Precious Jesus, you died. Not that we walk hopelessly, but in the hope of future total restoration. Being made real step by step now. God, we come to that river of grace and healing, pouring from the cross today. Let's stand together.